harmoniously expostulating. You know what I said? Harmoniously expostulating, singing. Singing. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. Remember, I told you when we began this study that 26 times in this little book, John uses the words "we know" time and time again. 26 times. So it's a "we know" book. It's not a "we think" book. It's not a "I wish it was so" book. It is a "we know" book. We know. It is a sad day that in this so-called educated age, so many people still can't read the book. But I know why, and you know why. Jesus said that their eyes were blind, that they couldn't see. Their ears were deaf, so they can't hear. And God chose to do that. Some eyes He opens, some ears hear, others don't hear a thing. Is it not strange that when Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he heard the Lord speak to him, and the rest of them just heard thunder.
Amen.
Does that tell you something?
Amen.
You can go to the house of God, and all you hear is thunder, unless God opens your ears.
Amen.
But if God opens your ears, you're going to hear from the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a blessing. Chapter number 2. I begin reading with verse number 1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now that's a very confusing passage. If you weren't here last week, if you were, then it should have been cleared up for you. Now we pick it up tonight with verse 3. And hereby we do know. You need to underscore that "we do know." And hereby we do know that we know. Is that a typo? No. No, remember, it is a "I know" book, "we know" book. So now he's saying, we know that we know. Have you ever heard Brother Gary or myself say, or some other preacher, you need to know that you know that you know, right? Well, here's where it all comes from. We know that we know. There's no conjecture about it. This is not up for arbitration. This is fact. We know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments, he that saith, "I know Him," and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. We close our reading at verse number 5. Father, bless us tonight. We gather in Your name. Once again, this is Your word. We are Your people. We love You. We appreciate Your goodness and mercy toward us. And though we are few, we can rejoice in the fact that Thou art God. And we have this privilege to meet together and share the good word of God, share the good songs, and rejoice in the good things that You do for us. Thank You now, Lord. Open my mouth and my mind, and open these ears that we might speak and hear. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The word genoa or genoho pronounced several different ways depending on which side of the Mason-Dixon line you may be on. As a matter of fact, it may be which side of the line you're on between Johnson City and Bristol. But the word Gnosi or Gnosko, there it is, Gnosko, is the word that's mentioned here as know, where we get our word knowledge from, and of course the word know. And when John writes this little short passage, we know that we know. We're not thinking, we're not guessing, we know that this is so. Now, John could do that because John laid on the breast of the Lord Jesus. It was John whom the Lord Jesus Christ loved above all the other disciples. And it was John who lived longer than all the other disciples. And John had the very heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. So over and over throughout his gospel and now throughout the epistles, John uses these words, we know, we know. Unlike the other apostles and the other writers, John just comes up with this word, know. We're not guessing, we know this is so. Well, now, had you been with the Lord Jesus Christ? Had you heard him preach? Had you seen the miracles? Had you seen the resurrected Christ? Had you been to the Isle of Patmos? Had the Lord revealed to you the whole of the book of the Revelation? Then you could say the same thing. But now listen carefully. You have been. Right here in this book, God gives you the panoramic view of all that God has done down through the ages. And all that God is going to do to save the sinner. And all that God is doing to bless his people. All of it is right here. And we know then that this is so. Just like John could say, we can say, we know. It is so. We're not guessing. Do you know you're born again? How do you know you're born again? Can you honestly say you know you're born again? The only way you can say that is that the Holy Ghost lives inside and assures you that you are a child of God. Now we know. Now we know. We're not hoping so. We're knowing so. There's a lot of difference, isn't there? I don't know how many times I've been trying to witness to folks. And if you ask them if they're saved, oh, I hope so. I hope so. Well, here's the thing about it. You need to come beyond the hope and know what Jesus Christ has done for you. Now, if you don't know that, you need to find out real quick. Because it's not going to be long till Jesus comes for us. I don't know when it's going to be. But I know he's coming. You know how I know he's coming? Because he said he was. Because he said he was. Amen. A number of years ago, a father and his son went downtown in New York City. And the dad had some business in an office in one of the skyscrapers. So he left the little boy at the door and told him, I'll be back soon, son. Just stay right here till I get back. So daddy went up the elevator and was gone. And someone, the doorkeeper, came by the little boy and said, son, why are you doing staying? He said, daddy told me to stay here till he gets back. He said he went up there and he'd be back. He promised he'd be back. So again, he came up to him after a while and he said, are you sure your daddy's coming back? He said, oh, yes. Oh, yes, he's coming back. Said he was. He'll be back. He said, well, aren't you worried? It's been a while. He said, no, I'm not worried. He said he'd come back. Amen. And he'll be back. Well, it began to rain, and the little portion he was in, the rain began to splatter in where he was. And the fellow came out to him and said, you want to come inside out of the rain? He said, well, sir, it's not necessary. Daddy told me to stay here. I'll be all right. And he said, are you sure your daddy's coming back? He said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, daddy's coming back because he said he was. Well, it wasn't long till daddy stepped out of the elevator and came out. And that fellow standing there looking at that little boy. And that little boy looked at him and said, see, I told you so. I told you he's coming back. Amen. Well, let me tell you something. I'm telling you, he's coming back.
Amen.
He's coming back. I know he is because he said he was. And he's coming back. So we need to know some things. In this spiritual walk, we need to know some things. Stop guessing and be assured that it's so. We need to know some things are so. In John chapter number 14, verse number 15, John writes these words. Now this is in his gospel. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus said those words. If you love me, keep my commandments. Then in John 17, verse number 3, he says, this is life eternal. That we know who? It's on the screen. Might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now here in both cases, the word know is brought before us again. And several other times. But in the first case, John is saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, that's what he says in this verse here in 1 John. If you love me, keep my commandment. Basically the same thing is said. We know that it's so if we keep his commandments. Now, let's get into the thoughts for a moment. What is it to keep his commandments? What is it to keep the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me boil it down quickly for you. Won't spend a lot of time right here. Let me just say it to you like this. Love him.
Amen.
Love him. If you love him, you'll keep his commandments.
Amen.
When I was a growing boy, I did what Daddy told me to do because I knew he's going to beat the devil out of me if I didn't. It's that simple. And most of us were the same way. Right? Do your little darling head just like this. But as I grew older and became an adult, I was doing what my daddy taught me to do because I loved him. There's a lot of difference, isn't there? We so often, now I realize that the family unit is not what it used to be. But if you had that kind of training, you ought to thank God tonight.
Amen.
That it was so. Because in that training, you didn't necessarily do what Daddy and Mama told you to do because you loved them right then. You loved them, but you really didn't know what love was. You thought love was you showing up the breakfast table and the dinner table and so on and so forth and doing what Mom and Dad told you to do from time to time. You thought that's what it was, but that's not what love is. Not what love is. Love is a spiritual appreciation for the things you know to be so. Now, if you know him, you keep his commandments. Isn't that what John said? If we know him, we're going to keep his commandments. Now, if we know him, then we know him as we mentioned in John chapter 17. To know the Father and to know the Son. That is life eternal. Jesus said that. It's life eternal. If you know the Father and you know the Son, then you have life eternal. That means something has happened down inside you that has made you different from what you were. Now that indwelling spirit is loving the Father.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes.
Let me simplify it for you. You're incapable of loving God.
Amen.
You cannot do it.
Amen.
The natural man could care less about God. He has no design and no desire to God. None whatsoever. Even though he may have had good training, he may have gone to Sunday school when he was a boy, and so on and so forth. But unless God touches him, he can't love God.
Amen. That's right.
The natural man has no way of producing agape love.
Yes.
We can produce eros love, which is natural love. But agape love is the love of God. Therefore, how in the world can a natural man produce agape love? It's a total impossibility. So until the Spirit of God moves inside of us, agape love is not a part of our being. But the moment the Holy Ghost comes inside, now we can love like God loves.
Amen.
Isn't that something? Now the love of God literally radiates from us. Now, in every circumstance, all of us have this thing called the flesh.
Amen.
You know what that is, don't you?
Amen.
Pinch yourself and you'll find out. Flesh, that is the covering, that is that separates you from everybody else. Makes you an individual, doesn't it? I'm looking around this auditorium, I don't see anybody that looks like me, thank God. That's for your blessing.
Amen.
We all look different, right? We do things differently. Some of us are lazy as snakes, and the rest of us are busy bodies getting things done.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Oh, yeah, I can look at you and tell if you're lazy or not.
Amen.
Take me about 30 seconds to find that out. Let me tell you what my dad told me years ago. He said, son, it takes time to get lazy, and I'm going to see to it that you don't have any time.
Amen.
Well, he saw to it that I didn't have any time. And Daddy didn't produce any lazy boys except Gary, Jerry, and Terry. No. When the Holy Ghost moves inside of you, now you can love like God loves.
Amen.
Now, and we'll get to that later on in our studies, now the brotherly love becomes a reality. If we love the Lord, then we love the brethren, don't we? See how that works? We love those that are in the family. It's just one of those things. Now, beforehand, you didn't do that. Beforehand, that was just another person and so on that you said good morning to, good afternoon to, or maybe hi, or go fall off the bridge or something like that. But you didn't love that individual. But now that Christ lives in you, His love radiates from you, and now they're brothers and sisters. Now we love them. Every once in a while, I'll hug Wendy and I say, don't ever tell anybody you saw me hugging old Yankee. God has to do that, don't he, babe? God has to fix that. Wendy, I love you. In spite of you, I love you. Would to God you was birth, you know, south of the Mason. But, you know, some folks can't help it. The love of God. What a precious thing it is. Listen, what a precious thing it is to walk through these doors and love each other.
Amen.
Just love each other. That kindred spirit, that family spirit is among us, and we love each other. We really don't care how much rouge and lipstick and whatever we have on. We don't care whether or not we look good. We love each other.
Amen.
Sometimes my wife gets up in the morning and I have to remind her that it's only by grace that you could love something that looks that bad. But I believe in mercy. Huh? And it's not long till she's combed and fixed and here she is. Hey, look there now. Isn't it? That's worth waiting on. Huh? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I know what I'm going to get now. Get home, don't worry about it. But we learn to love each other in spite of how we look. Hey, we love each other when we feel bad.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. Before God, I don't suffer well. Down through the years, I haven't had a whole lot of sickness. God's given me good health. And when I am sick, I don't suffer well. And when I suffer, I don't want anyone to bother me. I'd rather just hide away somewhere, lock me up in the refrigerator if you want to. Just get me away from everybody and everything. I don't want to see nothing, hear anything. I don't want to have a kiss on the forehead and a pat on the head. I don't want anything like that. I'm hurt.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's still love. And I'm still loved. Huh? Oh yeah. Why? Because the love of God supersedes all of that junk. It supersedes my illness. It supersedes my stubbornness. It supersedes my self-will. Huh? Sure does. And we love each other because God lives in us. Now, hang on. In order to understand this, you know and I know that we do not keep the commandments.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, we're not obliged to keep the commandments in the New Testament setting. Because the commandment, the law, has already been fulfilled for us in the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary.
Amen. Yes, that's right.
Now that's one of the hardest things to get folks to understand. But let me say it one more time. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He did it for you and He did it for me. If you're a child of God, the law's fulfilled on your behalf. The gavel has been dropped and the sentence is not guilty.
Amen.
Not guilty. Now why? Because Jesus paid the price. He became the sacrifice in our stead. However, as a child of God, we have some direction in the Word of God. And when we love as we're supposed to love, we are keeping the commandments. Now, how can I say that? Because Jesus said the commandments are summed up in these two. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Well, hallelujah. Glory. I love, and the law, as far as my personal experience is concerned, I keep it.
Amen.
Right there. Because I'm loving. But I'm loving because God's given me the love to spread abroad.
Amen.
And send to others. So, verse number 4. He that saith, I know him. Can I tell you that one of the major sins of this generation is pretending to know God?
Amen.
Pretending to know God. In Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 9, Paul talks about knowing God. And then he said, but rather to be known of God. You see, it's one thing for you to say, I know Lord. That's another thing for the Lord to say, I know Him. You remember when the crowd was trying to cast the devils out in Paul's day, and the Spirit said, Paul, we know, but who are you? Just who do you think you are? And the demons jumped upon them. Now listen carefully. It's one thing for you to say you know the Lord Jesus. It's another thing for Him to own you as His own.
Amen.
As a child, you have but one parents, one set of parents, a mother and a father. Now, your mom and dad know you. I don't know how cows know their own calves. I don't know how chickens hatch their own little chicks and know they belong to them. I mean, you can have 12 chickens hatch 12 settings of eggs, and every one of them be running around. And when mama calls, those 12 that belong to her are going to her. Now, how does she know them, and how do they know her? Are you listening to me? Are you about to get a hold of what I'm saying to you? It's one thing to know God. It's another thing for God to know you. It's a one thing for you to say with your mouth, I know the Lord Jesus. And every hypocrite in the world can say that.
Amen.
I know the Lord. I know God. Yeah. But it's another thing for God to own you as His child.
Amen.
And the sign that God knows you is that love we were talking about just a moment ago. Now, look further in this verse with me. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth's not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily the love of God is, what's that next word? Perfected. Hereby know that we are in Him. And may I add, He is in us. So how do we know it? Because the love of God is perfected in us.
Amen.
Now what is perfect love? Let's just think about it for a moment and I'll be through. What is perfect love? The love of God that is working in us. Now, by the way, when God first begins to deal with you and puts that agape love in you, you don't really know what's going on. You have to grow up a bit with it. And as you grow up with it, then you begin to understand why you love people that you didn't know before. Why you are not just an acquaintance now, but you literally love one another. And that Spirit of Christ loving through you, declaring God's love toward others from you. All of that's taking place for one reason. Because God is maturing your love for Him.
Amen.
Now if He loves me, then I ought to love Him, right? The Scripture plainly states that God is love. God is love. In what, John? Oh, it's 1 John 4:16. And is that right? And we know that we belong to Him, that God hath to us. God is love, right in the middle of the verse. So God is love. But now wait a minute. God is also a consuming fire. Now here's where we have problems, isn't it? Everyone says God's love. Yes, He is. I declare to you, we know it's so. God is love. If He wasn't, then where would you be tonight? In hell, shoveling ashes.
Amen.
But now listen carefully. God is love, but God is also a consuming fire. Now if God is love and God is a consuming fire, then that says that one side or the other, you're going to receive the vengeance or the love of God. The wrath or the love of God. Now who gets the wrath of God? In John chapter 3, the latter part of that verse, he that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth upon him.
Amen.
So the unbeliever, the wrath of God is there. God is a consuming fire. Where is that? Hebrews 12:29, last verse in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. God is a consuming fire. Now, if God's a consuming fire and God is love, which one would you rather be the recipient of? Hopefully, all of us in this room tonight are recipient of the love of God. And if we are, then guess what we're doing? We're loving God back, and we're loving others as well, because God has placed His love in us.
Amen.
You meet folks all the time, I do as well, that there's no way in the world you could love them were it not for the love of God.
Amen.
Do you ever meet saints that just don't have the same point of view that you do?
Amen.
Do you realize that there are actually some Democrats that are saved? I think there's two somewhere. But do you realize that I have a different set of view than a Democrat does? You know what the Democrats think right now? They think that Biden is doing the greatest job.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't mind telling you that. Oh, he's doing a great job. He is taking this nation
Amen.
Straight to the dump.
Amen.
Now, we disagree. But we can love each other. We love each other because of what Jesus is inside of us.
Amen.
That family spirit is there. That family acquaintance is there. That family unit is there. And we're brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
So we love each other. If you think everybody's going to agree with you walking down the road, then you might as well just stop where you
Amen.
Are. Sit down, because it's not going to happen.
Amen.
Some folks like red, some folks like blue. Some folks like slow songs, some folks like fast songs. Some folks like loud preaching, some folks like soft preaching.
Amen.
And some folks just don't like it at all.
Amen.
Not everyone's going to agree with you. It is an actual fact. Now listen, it is an actual fact, sweetheart. We don't always agree, do we? See there? She's wrong. Obviously, she's wrong. But after a while, I don't know. Do you know how long it's been since we had a fuss? Now, we're fixing to have one tonight, probably. But we haven't. Honestly, we don't fuss. She may say something right sharp to me, and I may say something back, but it's over. You know why? Because we love each other.
Amen.
Because we love each other. And you can overlook a multitude of sin if you love one another. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Do you know why God overlooks the sin in your life? Look up here. Do you know why? Because He loves you as His child.
Amen.
My daddy could have killed me more than three times. But you know why he didn't? Because he loved me. He loved me. Now listen to me carefully. God honestly could turn chapter 12 of the book of Hebrews loose on us and just beat us with the rod day after day.
Amen.
But He loves us.
Amen. Yes.
He loves His children. Listen, I am so glad. Before God, I am so glad to know that I am loved by somebody that can't be influenced by anyone else.
Amen.
How about that? Now, you can love, but you can be influenced in another direction.
Amen.
But God is not influenced by your good looks, by what you do or you don't do, or what someone else says or what someone else does not say. God is not influenced in that way. He loves you. Now, I'm saying that to you who are His children. If you're not His child, I don't know if God loves you or not. I'll tear you up on it. How often do you hear preachers say, oh, God loves you? Now, I can't say that to everybody I meet because I don't know that God loves everybody. That's not what this book says. If you're God's child, He loves you.
Amen.
If you're going to be God's child, He loves you. Experientially, if you're not in the household yet, God loves you. But if you're a reprobate, God does not love you.
Amen.
And He never will love you. He'll despise you all of your days and throughout eternity. Now, does God have a right to do that? This book says He does.
Amen.
If the book says He does, then He does. He does. Three times in this book. The book of Genesis, the book of Malachi, the book of Romans. These words are said, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And if you look up that word hated, it means despised. Now, how in the world can God be God and despise one man and love the other? Because He's God. You see, that's what makes Him God. He has the right to do that. He can do it because He will. That's exactly why He does it. God is sovereign. He's sovereign in His choice. He's sovereign in whom He loves and whom He hates. I ask you this question. Did God love that crowd that He sent Israel into the promised land to destroy? Absolutely not. He'd marked them for destruction, and that's what they were going to do. They were going to die.
Amen.
And with the exception of Rahab, who owned the God of glory in her testimony, the rest of them in Jericho died. And when they were obedient, all of the others in Canaan died at the hand of either God or the army of Israel. Let me ask you who God was loving. Was God loving Israel's army or the pagan army? He's loving Israel's army. So you see, God has the right to love whom He will. Now look up here at me. Some of you are having a problem with that, so I'm going to help you right here. Do you have the right to choose who you want to love?
Amen.
You do it, don't you?
Amen.
Absolutely. Why do you say God can't do that?
Amen.
And God's right in doing what He will. Because He's God. Now, God loves His children. And He loves His children with an overwhelming love. The kind of love that mom and dad can't give you. The kind of love that a husband and wife can't give you. He loves you beyond anything this world has ever known. That's why it's called agape love. God's love. And it is a never dying love. Never dying love. In Hebrews chapter 12, God reminds us that it's an eternal thing. Chapter 9, same way, it's an eternal thing. He purchased what kind of redemption? Can anyone remember? Eternal redemption for us. So that outstrips every day, doesn't it? Outstrips every night. Outstrips every birthday. He loves us eternally.
Amen.
Can you relax in that love? And can you love God as He loves you? You can try, can't you? As much so as the grace of God permits you to do so. Let me say this, and I am finished, honestly. Listen carefully. You can love and you can obey as much so as the measure of grace that God has given you.
Amen.
Now, all of us don't have the same measure of grace. Some of us are a bit mature. Some of us are less mature. And the grace that God gives us is what gives us the ability to love. So as much as the grace of God is within you, love the Lord, love each other, and thusly obey the commandments. And quit spinning your wheel in the mud hole trying to do things that you can't do. Amen. Listen, if man could have obeyed the law to be saved, then Jesus would not have come to die. But the fact that he came and died for our sins speaks volumes, saying man can't do it. God had to do it in order to save us.
Amen.
We could not do it. Let's stand together.